Three, two, one. Happy New Year from our friends over at Manscaped. The ball has officially dropped, but that doesn't mean you have to drop the ball on your balls in 2023. Whether you had a New Year's kiss or not, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming have you covered for your much-needed resolution of bringing sexy back. Join the 7 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped. With our exclusive offer, go to manscaped.com and use the promo code Pritchard, P-R-I-C-H-A-R-D, for 20% off and free shipping. Let's have a toast to a new year, new you, and a new you with no pubes. It's a new year, new balls with the global leaders in below-the-waist grooming. This year, take your package to the next level with the Performance Package 4.0 and other premium wet goods. Inside the Performance Package 4.0, you'll find the signature Lawnmower 4.0. The advanced skin-safe technology reduces cuts and nicks on your delicate parts. It also comes equipped with a 4000K LED spotlight that will shine a light to the promised land 2023 looks to be. So get 20% off and free shipping with the code Pritchard at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping at manscaped.com. Use that promo code Pritchard. Time to feel sexy and free in 2023 with Manscaped.
The upcoming presentation is a two-man power trip of wrestling podcast production.
Taking you to school with Dr. Tom Pritchard. I am your host, JP Jambai. This is, of course, the star of the show, the former WWE World Tag Team Champion, one of the greatest trainers ever in the history of the business, the Doctor of Desire, Dr. Tom Pritchard. Dr. Tom, how are you doing today, sir?
John, I'm doing great today. Thank you very much for asking.
Interesting question just to start this off, because I got a question from somebody. They were talking about OVW tryouts before I ask you about JPW, and I know I'm going to forget, but OVW tryouts and you getting guys into WWE from those tryouts, like Tank Toland was the name that came up and like you helped him get in. Is that a normal occurrence? You going down OVW and kind of scouting talent?
Yeah, that was when I was in Stanford. Part of my gig was going down every month to OVW and Heartland Wrestling Association in Cincinnati. So I went to HWA, OVW, and later on, Deep South and stuff like that. But yeah, that was my regular gig when I was in Stanford. I had a full schedule up there. And then when I got to fly down to Louisville and Cincinnati, that was like a break, man. It was awesome.
Ibsen, hello. Ready to learn awesome. From the best.
Awesome, Ibsen. I hope so.
Hello, Jason.
And Mr. John. I keep thinking Dr. John. Willie Porter. Hello, guys.
Hello, hello. So with awesome. Like guys like Tank and stuff, did you actually get him a tryout and get him into WWE?
I don't think I got him a tryout, but
I guess you were running the tryout. He was a part of it, and then he ended up getting time at WWE.
Yeah, well, they took our suggestions and opinions and did what they would with them, whatever kind of fit their agenda, I believe, was going on at that time. But, yeah, it was. Then here's the thing. There were so many people that came through, and I remember the majority. And at the same time, there were so many people who came through, you don't remember everybody. And I don't remember everybody, but I met some people who As a matter of fact, I won't mention their names because they look different than they did during the tryouts. I'll say that. But they told me last year when I saw them in Knoxville that they came in for the tryout. They didn't make it, but it was one of those things where it might have been myself and Norman. Norman and I were on the same page a lot of times. And, then you had other people who weren't. But these two guys told me that they got in later on, but they remember talking about the first tryout, and they said that I was very nice to them, which is a surprise. Yeah, I guess. Although maybe it's not, because I try to be nice to people. I don't always succeed, John, but you know what? We're not going to win them all.
So as far as the topic at hand today, the topic I wanted to discuss, I wanted to ask you about China. And Ibsen's got a question already about China. Here we go. Okay. The first year she was in the WWF in 1997, did she go to your school? Did she go to the Funkin' Dojo? Did she get some training from you?
No, she didn't go to the Funkin' Dojo, although there were times when she came over to the studio and they needed to work on a match or needed to work on something. And the great thing about Stanford at that time and the dojo and the training facility, which was in the warehouse of the studio, 120 Hamilton Avenue. And the great thing about that was the guys could come in and practice their matches or work on something special if they needed to work on something special. And that was a cool part of being at Stanford. To me, it was a great little downtown. It was a great place to go get a meal. Had everything I needed to live. But she didn't. I don't believe she went in 97, or maybe she did. I don't remember what year it was when she came down to the studio, but I know that she and Hunter came down and worked on some stuff.
Yeah, because they just had the documentary, which was just on A&E, 2-hour special. Mm-hmm. On China, and they have some footage of you and Triple H, and you're kind of telling him, you know what to do and what moves and stuff. I mean, obviously he knows, but you're just trying to train her and give him an idea of what you were looking for.
So can you actually tell it's me?
Oh yeah, of course.
They don't say it's me.
No, they just show the footage while right. They're talking, and they show her training with you.
Okay. Well, no. That's usually how it was. If they needed, hey, Richard Morales from Texas. Wow.
Nice.
Yes. I will say, hook 'em horns. Well, you know why I'm not nice to you, King of Kingsport? It's because I'm reciprocating what I'm getting. Anyway, a lot of the guys would come down and, either we'd give them tryouts in Stanford or send them to OVW and I'd fly down there and Danny Davis, Jim Cornette, Rip Rogers, and those guys would handle it. Then in Cincinnati, it was Les Thatcher and his crew. So there were a few guys that would come into Stanford, and that was always cool. Made for a not a boring day, that's for sure.
What do you got here? Christopher Juarez, do you have any memories of China?
Yeah. She was always nice. She with someone like that, and what I mean is someone who definitely was unique and looked different. I always felt that people like that who know they look unique and know they're going to get stared at and know they're going to have comments thrown their way. I couldn't imagine what it's like to walk through an airport or to walk through life like that. And as we saw on the documentary, the parts I saw was talking about where people would call her names or make fun of her and be just complete assholes. And people can be assholes sometimes. So my memories of China, though, were a very nice lady. I think any performer is always, we don't know what everybody's going through. Somebody's always dealing with something. And I can only imagine, you know, with the pressure that she was under, just that she put on herself. And you could see it in the documentary when she said, I'm China, I'm a champion, damn it. You know, you shouldn't treat me like this. Well, that was a sad thing to see again, a sad thing to experience for her, no doubt. But my memories of her were all good. And even in the ring, she was always cool.
Christopher said, I always wanted to meet China. She was my favorite growing up as a child.
She was an interesting lady, man. She had an interesting life. And once again, everybody thinks it's all peaches and cream and the grass is always greener, but the grass is green where you water it. So I think she knew that too. And it just, it happens to a lot of people where you see life one way and you have your dreams and hopes and things you want to accomplish. And then once you get to that point and you've accomplished it, and you're looking around going, is this it? What? I thought it was going to be different, and I was going to feel different, and I was going to see things differently, when all of a sudden you realize, it's not always what you think it is. So she was a lot of people's favorites. And the cool thing about her is I think she treated everybody with respect and understood what it was like to have people either be nice to you or not be nice to you. And that's part of who a real superstar is. And she was definitely a superstar.
Richard wants to know, how do you think China would do against the women wrestlers of today? And he just threw in there her in her prime, obviously, against.
Well, yeah, sure. I get that. I think she would be every bit, if not more, the star that she was in the Attitude. Well, let me say this. I don't know that she would be more of a star because there were more people watching back then. And I think she'd do fine against the women today. I think she'd be a great asset. I just think her attitude is what drove her. She had the passion. She had the drive. And that's the key. It truly is. Because without the passion and the drive, you'll be staying idle that whole time.
Jason said, if I remember correctly, wasn't China something of a scholar?
Very smart woman. I think she was a criminal law major. And yeah, very smart lady. So, yeah, she was.
I know she was a teacher as well later on in life. So,
well, and as you saw, she lived some time in Tokyo and
yep.
Or all over, maybe she was all over Japan traveling, but eventually, you know, trying to live somewhere else for a while is kind of cool until it's not.
Ibsen, if she had to go to the WWF and say, Dr. Tom, what's the one thing I should work on against men as a woman to make myself believable, what would you say?
She was believable, in my opinion. She was every bit as big and sometimes bigger than the guys. She was the part. I think what she was doing at that time was believable. For instance, I've seen intergender matches in the last 10 years that didn't look believable to me, where the guys are hitting a woman with a fist or kicking her or something like that. And then the woman comes back and clotheslines the guy. I saw Keith Lee in an intergender match. Not saying there's anything wrong with it. I'm just saying Keith Lee's a big man.
Yeah, he killed and for him. Woman. Yeah.
Yeah, have you seen the match I'm talking about, I guess? I don't know how many matches he's had, but I've seen one of them where I went, holy Christ, why? So, you know, but against China, it would make more sense because she looked like a badass, and she looked like she could take somebody's head off, man, woman, or child. well, let's leave the child out of it, but definitely a man or woman, she could certainly make an impression and make an impression on the people watching.
For sure, for sure. Where's that here? Christopher, do you think she should come back? Wait, what does it say?
She would come back to WWE beside all things she did in the past? Oh, do you think maybe? Do you think
she would come back? Do you think she would come back to WWE, you know, if she was alive?
What do I win? What do I win for that?
Yeah, a couple bucks. What's that?
A couple bucks? Okay. Checks in the mail? Okay. Well, I really do, because everybody comes back eventually, and she certainly deserved to be in the Hall of Fame. She certainly deserved to have a legacy, and she deserves to be remembered for what she was and who she is, who she was. And you cannot argue that she didn't make an impact. She got people talking. She was a great addition to DX. She's a great addition to Hunter. You know, it kind of crappy the way things worked out, but that's life.
Do you think the way that worked out with Hunter, do you think that led to her downfall?
Well, nobody can really say for sure. I think anybody who dabbles in drugs and can walk away is a stronger person than 95% of us. But anyone who already has these insecurities and is looking for something to make them melt away or go away for however long it is, it doesn't matter if it's 5 minutes or 5 hours, I think you can justify anything in your head that you want to. We've all felt pain and disappointment in life. China's no different. And if she loved Hunter and that was a relationship she was really invested in, for it to happen that way, oh my God, you know, can you, we can only imagine. We saw it from the outside, but she was right there up close and personal. And God only knows what was said during those intimate times. And you can't blame anybody, because again, that's life. You can't choose who you're going to fall in love with, who you're going to have a relationship with. If it didn't work out and Hunter wasn't feeling the same, then I don't understand why people would want him to stay in it, because if he's miserable, he's going to make everybody else around him miserable, and vice versa. So was it a catalyst? I think doing drugs, no matter who it is, you can hang your hat on anything as to why. And it's an unfortunate circumstance, because a lot of people don't know when to say when or when to say stop.
Do you think that he was cheating on her with Stephanie, and that just like set her off, or what do you think?
Are you kidding me? Hunter cheat on anybody? Come on. Would a man cheat on a woman? When a man cheats on a woman, right, that's not when a man loves a woman. Yeah. Whatever it is. Well, I mean, do I think he was cheating on her? Hell, I could think all I want. I think there was a lot more going on before China knew about it. And, I think, yes, there was a lot of things going on at that time. But do I know for a fact? No, not really. Barbara, I was wondering where you were. Glad you made it.
Hope my cold is doing better.
My cold is doing better. I'm still having some sinus issues here. You know, spring, this has been a real weird spring, or not spring, winter. Thank you. We're coming up on spring. We're springing forward this weekend.
Yeah, this week, yeah.
Yes, yes. Well, but we've had hot weather, cold weather, rain weather, rainy weather, all this other stuff, man. And everybody's been sick around here. From my daughter, my wife, everybody.
Weird, it's a weird time.
Yeah, but enough about my health. Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Mr. Morales, it's Pritchard. There's no tea in Pritchard, but you can get a
tea. Yeah, take the tea out of Pritchard, put it on your back, go to prewts.com.
There you go.
Not a great t-shirt there.
He remembers you from Southwest Championship Wrestling, San Antonio.
I was just a young boy back then. I was a greenhorn beyond greenhorns back then, but I had a good time in San Antonio, Southwest. Yep. Yeah.
Tully definitely said you were a greenhorn then, that's for sure.
I was a greenhorn. Who said that?
Oh, what? Tully.
Oh, Tully, yes.
Tully Ibsen know. Says, how was she backstage in 99?
She was great. I never had a problem with China as a producer or coming over to the ring at the studio. Never had a bad time, bad word. I guess I worked with her twice in the good housekeeping match with Jeff. Never a problem. And that's what you want. That's what I wanted anyway, to be able to go to the ring and, do what you had to do and not get hurt in the process, which is always a good thing and always a bonus in my opinion.
Yeah, you were a ref for a match of Shane and Test beat Triple H and China in Houston, Texas on 9/20/99 and 9/27/99. Next week, you guys lost that good housekeeper. You and Jeff actually lost to China and Deborah, of all things.
Imagine that. But that's the way it goes.
She was pretty over with the live crowd in 99.
She was very over. China was very over. She looked the part. She was the part. And she was, I think she was exceptional in what she did. And why wouldn't she be over? You know, we already said and heard from people who said she was their favorite wrestler. So,
yep.
Yeah, I think she was very over.
Scorch. Dr. Tom, what are your thoughts on Joni Lauer's trainer, Killer Kowalski?
I loved Killer Kowalski. What a nice man. What a great man. He, you know, Killer had a reputation for being clumsy. He was a guy that came off the top rope with a knee on Yukon Eric's ear, and that's how he got the name Killer. So... But I loved Killer Kowalski. He was a great guy. Really was. Very nice man. Very, very nice man. They don't make him like him anymore.
I met someone not that long ago, and their last name was Kowal, right? And I said to them, was that name longer? And they said, yes. It was actually, I guess at one point it was Kowalski. And then he mentioned to me, he goes, no, I don't, because he just, quickly, he goes, no, I don't think I'm related to Killer Kowalski. So he knew, but it was funny. I was like, oh, I was like, interesting. I that's exactly what I was thinking. So people know Killer Kowalski. He's mentioned on Seinfeld. I mean, everyone knows Killer Kowalski. Old school fans know.
Yeah, he was mentioned in Andy Warhol's book. He mentioned a few other things too. Who did you just say? Steven Spielberg?
No, Seinfeld on the show.
Seinfeld. Okay. Well, there was a couple books where they're talking about Killer Kowalski. I think it was Andy Warhol or it could have been Steven Spielberg even who made a mention of him too. But Kowalski, what a classic name.
Yep.
And what a classic accident for that to happen. And you know the story about when Kowalski came off the top rope and the ear came off and Walter's panicking and Yukon Eric grabbed his ear and said, don't worry about it, kid. We'll make a lot of money with this. You know, that's supposedly what he told Jeff Walton when Kowalski came through L.A. And so, yeah, man, those were a different breed of cats back then. And they let's not let a little limb detachment slow us down. Let's just keep going.
Yeah, right. Different era.
Why not? For sure. Hugely different era. Horribly different era.
There's a great scene in Seinfeld where Kramer says, oh, like Killer Kowalski. And then George is like, who? And Kramer gets down on his knees and he goes, Killer Kowalski, he was a great wrestler. He'd take you by the stomach and just grab you. And he does the actual like Killer Kowalski stuff. So right. Somebody on Seinfeld, probably Larry David and maybe Jerry, or definitely old school Marks.
Let me tell you, every picture Kowalski had, he would grab you around the neck and, you know, like he's choking you. So I have a picture with the great Killer Kowalski myself. It's on the bookshelf on my my hallway as you walk through the door. And I'll never forget that too. And he was just, he was just a great man. They had a match between Killer Kowalski and Killer Carl Cox, KKK, in Houston. And the loser could not use the name Killer anymore. Well, Cox lost and came back the next week as Kill'em Carl Cox. But that lasted about, that lasted about 2 weeks, and then he was gone anyway. So, and he went on calling himself Killer. So that's how I knew the stipulations back then weren't for real. By God.
She made an adult movie with the 1-2-3 Kid, obviously, that's Sean Waltman, and said that Triple H held a grudge against her for years for making that movie. What do you think about One Night in China? Have you ever seen One Night in China?
Well, no. No, I haven't. And who knows? Who knows how Hunter felt about that, and who knows how anybody felt about it? I mean, we all do stuff. Boy, do we all do stuff when we're young and when we don't really think about the consequences. But if Hunter held a grudge, that's on him. And I think as you get older, you know, put as much stock into stuff like that anymore, because you realize it's all small stuff. Don't sweat the small stuff, and it really is all small stuff. Don't waste your time worrying about the petty stuff. You're not the first. You won't be the last. You're not that. You're unique, just like everybody else.
The thing is with that, Triple H mentioned that for years of that's why she wasn't in the Hall of Fame, right? Because you could Google that and stuff. So, I mean, I guess
kind of like Sonny. Yeah.
He kind of had a point in one aspect, but in the other aspect, like, you could Google any of those guys and they had way worse stuff on their resume.
Yeah, you could Google Sonny and you could see what she's done. That's what I mean. Yeah. I mean, and Sonny's sitting rotting in a cell right now. I guess she's rotting in a cell. Yeah. But I mean, you know, that's what I mean. We can all look at it at things and say, well, yeah, this is why we can't do this for you. And yet you have the guy right next to him doing whatever they did. And trust me, nobody's a saint. Go ahead and throw the first stone if you are. Yeah, there you go. No. I always, my deal was tell them to buy a dog, name it Life, so they need to have one. Yeah.
Yesenia. Hello, Yesenia.
Yesenia? Well, hello.
I never remember a woman her size before. Very muscular is what Barbara's saying here about China. That is true. You don't, I mean, not of that size anyway. She, you know, like you said, she's bigger than some of the guys.
Well, Nicole Bass was pretty big too.
But, you know, terrible athlete, though. I mean, she could barely move around. China can move around.
Right. That's the point. You know, there weren't many her size that could do what she did, but there were some that they tried to come in and see if they could, but. Man, that's a tough spot to have too, I think, for anybody being that.
The first?
Yeah, the first, I really believe.
If she's around nowadays, it's a very pro woman, obviously, in wrestling. They would take to her and she would be a top star, no doubt about it.
Not that
she wasn't then either, but even more so now.
Well, no, and eventually, because they relented and put her in the Hall of Fame, That's part of the journey that everybody had to go through. For whatever reason, we all have our belief system and why it will work or why it won't work. And if that's what Hunter truly felt, that he didn't want anybody as unscrupulous as someone who's done a porno movie. And let me just ask all the people in America right now. How many of you have done a porno movie and have it not be seen? Because I don't know that they actually released it, did they? Or did Sean and...
Yeah, they released it. It was released by the same people that did the Tommy Lee and Pamela Anderson one.
Well, you know, they stole that. They stole the Tommy Lee, Pamela Anderson films. And they, they bought it. They bought a stolen copy of that.
Yeah.
Yep. So that's what I mean. If they, it doesn't really do me too much good and put faith in those wonderful human beings either. You know, the guy that did that went to Cuba or Amsterdam, wherever it was, and hung out for a while until the money ran out.
Yeah.
So, but anytime you're anytime you're dealing with stuff like that, man, it's I think it's all relative, and if you put it into perspective, there's got to be a market for it to make any money, obviously. So who's to say in a business like professional wrestling, the holier than thou business of professional wrestling with nothing but saints and archbishops and popes and pukes and things like that. It's the entertainment business regardless. It may be a pretty sleazy entertainment business, but I'm sorry, I quit watching porn years ago. You know, I quit buying any magazines years ago. And I realized that whatever you want to do, you can do. Whatever you want to get, that's a great thing about America. You can get whatever you wanted, or you used to be able to. And you could have a free enterprise. And if you want to make porno movies or fetish films or whatever you want to call them, then you should be able to do whatever you want to do as long as you don't harm anybody else or commit a murder, in my opinion. And did it hurt her? I mean, people are always going to judge you no matter what. You're not going to please everybody, so you might as well please yourself. And if Sean and Joni decided to do a film and release it, then they were cool with it at the time. And maybe later on they don't want anybody to see it, and that's their right too, either way.
Ibsen, she said that there were several love letters she found of Triple H and Stephanie exchanging back and forth. Triple H had no answer.
What are you going to say? No, those aren't mine. Well, wait a minute, since Dear H. Well, you know, there was Happy Humphrey and gosh, what's his name?
Hillbilly
Harley Jack. Harley Race. Yeah, maybe it was the Harley. Yeah. I mean, look, I have nothing against Triple H. I have nothing against anybody who lies in their relationships or lies in life. I mean, she wasn't the only one he lied to. So,
yep,
I'll leave it there.
Any funny memories of China?
She could dance, she could be funny, and she was like, back then, you know, the guys had a different sense of humor, and the girls did too. And anybody you're around this circus, you either adapted or you got lost. And she was just I don't have any specific funny memories, but she was funny, and she could be entertaining away from the ring and outside the ring in the back. Nothing really comes to mind. You know, I remember Brian Lee one time, who was he Chains or was he?
Yep.
Okay. With DOA.
Yep.
Right. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
He was also the phony Undertaker, but Brian, you know, asked Joni, said, show him your moves. And she started dancing and shaking and just doing a stupid, crazy dance just to amuse and just get a laugh. So she was really a cool girl, man. She really was.
It seems like her demons definitely got the best of her. And Barbara's saying here, she seemed like such a nice person. It's sad that her demons did get the best of her. It just seemed like that was the case for sure. Because it seemed like, man, early on, what a sweetheart. Like all the videos and stuff they had of her as young and then getting into WWE, everything was very positive until.
Well, it happens like that. There's no winners when you start taking copious amounts of pills or drinking copious amounts of alcohol. And I don't know if copious is the word I'm looking for, but I think I mean a lot. And when you combine the drugs on top of the schedule, on top of the demands, on top of the heady relationship trials and tribulations she was going through, wondering if she's being told the truth, wondering if this is all a lie, wondering what's going on, having those butterflies in your stomach and your personal life. And then the worst part, going to your job, and there's your boss's daughter avoiding you, and what are you supposed to think? I think, and again, I think a lot of people look at drugs as a way to alleviate pain. Number one, if you get hurt, and then once you find out how much pain it really does alleviate and you feel a lot better, then you go, oh Christ, if I'm supposed to take two and it makes me feel like this, I wonder how six feels.
Yep.
And then you slide down that slippery slope, and demons are all around us, and they don't mind taking over. They come in the form of all the things we like. And, you know, in moderation, I guess anything's okay. But yeah, I think as with any person, any human being dealing with trauma, and I think she's had trauma in her life, and she's had a lot of emotional trauma, emotional instability, and people had trouble with people being up front with her and telling her the truth. So that's when the demons slide in and kind of take over, and, you know, said devil on your left side and the angel on your right. You're going to be listening to your devil on the left side more, because they make you feel better. And at the end of the day, that's all a lie too.
Carl says China died of depression. She was lonely and her family were terrible with her.
Well, so we hear. Nobody really knows unless they were there. But I can understand depression. I can understand loneliness. I can understand wanting to be accepted. I can understand all the emotions she was probably, that we suspect she was going through, because it's nobody gets it until you walk in their shoes. I mean, we can suppose all we want. We can wonder all we want. Was she lonely? From all the stuff I've seen, and when the guy who was with her, I tell you where I started watching was when they went to the, they said they went to the office. How far down in that was?
Yeah, far? That's towards the end. The guy, Anthony.
That's where I was switching and I saw it. Yeah, the guy, you know, that guy.
He's the worst.
I know nothing about him, but he just seemed like such a,
So smarmy and snaky and such a scumbag. And like, he's filming her while he thinks she's dead in her room. Right. And like, real weird stuff. And like, just totally using her and abusing her for sure. I actually interviewed her. I think Sam Roberts, somebody said they were the first, but I was technically the first person to interview her when she came back from Japan. It was 2016, I believe. The interview was cut short. She was a little bit out of it, to be honest. She was a little bit whatever, yeah. But he had set it up. But earlier in the day, he called me, and because it's TMPT, Two Man Power Trip, he got it confused with TMZ. He goes, we're going to be here. So he goes, let's stage something. Like, everything was like an act to be filmed. It was totally
fake. Yeah.
So he was staging something with TMZ. And I'm like, no, I'm not TMZ. He's like, sorry. All right. You're with the interview later on. Yeah. I was like, yeah. So everything was a stage and a setup with that guy.
Yeah. That kind of came across that way. And that was, talk about scumbags. I mean, we could talk about scumbags in wrestling all day long, but, you know, they're not immune to being on the outside world too. I mean, there's scumbags everywhere you turn. But, depression, loneliness, family problems, relationship troubles, and people enabling her wasn't a good thing. And it's never a good thing. It's not a good thing for anybody, but especially an addict or someone who's had mental health issues. And that's nothing to laugh about, nothing to make fun of and exploit. Because it's real, and nobody knows how far down the line a person is until a lot of times it's too late. We never know how far where the line's at until we cross it. And sometimes we get so far past and cross that line so far that there's no going back. And I truly believe that's what happened. I mean, you go to jail, you go to rehab, and you die. And that's the sad facts.
So Rio says, I remember the angle where Jericho and China had the feud. China was tied to a chair, and Jericho smashed her hands with a hammer. China screams were chilling, he said. Interesting feud there with Jericho and China. Obviously, she would beat Double H of Jeff Jarrett. She'd be an Intercontinental champion. I know she was a woman's champion, but the Intercontinental title, I mean, that was pretty big time, especially in that era for a woman to be the IC champ. It was nuts. And obviously, the feuds with Jericho and Jeff Jarrett are pretty good, too.
Yeah. I mean, she went places. She was the pioneer for women taking on men and being in that position. So she really did lay the groundwork for what's going on today. The main event at WrestleMania with Charlotte and Ronda and what was it, Becky? You know, that would have never happened had China not made an impact, in my opinion. Because it wasn't, the time wasn't right. But obviously it is now, and without China, without what she did, I don't think the women's revolution would have happened. I could be wrong, but that's just my opinion. We'll never know, but that's the way I feel, because people still talk about China today, and there was still interest to see a biography about her, and that's why WWE picked it up and realized there's a lot of people who still care. And no matter what Hunter thinks, one thing I've learned about people who get to that rarefied air in Stanford in the office, they do understand business, and they do understand that it's not personal. It's as cold and cold-hearted as business. It's just the way it is. And a lot of people can't understand that. And I couldn't understand it for the longest time until finally I wrapped my head around it. It's not that they don't like you. It's that you just don't belong there yet, if ever.
Yep. And yeah. Jason is saying Triple H's case against China was a little suspect, considering his friend Sean Waltman was the one filming, and he was on the video, and he's in the Hall of Fame.
well, yeah, that's my point. You know, life ain't fair, man, and neither is wrestling. It's not fair, and it not always is it that the best man wins or the best woman wins. A lot of times, in fact, more times than I'm sure we all like to admit, that there's times in life when, look, somebody may not deserve something, and somebody may be just a complete out-and-out bastard and a no-good son of a bitch, but if the person in charge likes you and wants you to be there, you're going to be there. And on the other side of the coin, if they don't like you and they don't want you to be there, guess what? You're not going to be there. So, sure, it was all suspect. And sure, Sean Waltman and Triple H are friends to this day. But he's not going to put the heat on Sean. And that's just the way it works. I mean, I think anybody who's past the age of 30 should understand that. And if you don't, well, then you have a long life ahead of you.
Fart in the Wind throws out the one night in China, but then wanted to mention then they made Backdoor to China. So I guess she had a sequel, another movie out there.
Well, I haven't seen either one of them, and I don't plan on it. I just don't. I haven't seen any of Sonny's stuff either, for the record.
Grandma Daisy said, why did Triple H name his finishing move after dog food? It's actually, I think named because he was like the, not British, but like the fake British, right, Commonwealth kind of, he comes from great pedigree. You know.
Well, also he actually on Thanksgiving, I understand that Triple H used to eat a can of pedigree dog food every year is a tradition in the family.
Oh, yes, of course.
And that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Deshaun Omack says China's best character was Mamacita with Eddie Guerrero.
Probably so. But Eddie was, and here's the thing. Eddie was married. Eddie had a family, and China was involved with Triple H at that time. But I also think with Eddie, that brought out the best of both of those guys. You know, Eddie and China, they both were having fun. I believe, I've never talked to them about it, but you could tell when it is a good character, when it's a great character, and they were both not playing a part. They were being a part. They knew how to do it. And it was an extension of Eddie. It was an extension of China. So I have to agree with you, man. I think her best character probably was Mamacita.
Scorch says, I remember seeing China rough up the tiny Terry Reynolds. What a sight that was. Yeah, her debut. That was crazy. Made her look even bigger.
Yeah. Yeah, the perfect thing to do with Terry, and obviously she was tough enough to take it, so good for her.
Ibsen wants to know, how much did she bench? She was at the gym constant. Have any clue?
I have no clue. I think 4,500 was the last.
SGR says probably 350. They were talking about a little bit on the documentary about how much she lifted. They were shocked about how much. I don't remember if they gave an actual amount, but they were talking about how much. They were just surprised that she was lifting as much as the men.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of women who are strong or if just as strong or stronger than men. I've seen it at the gym a couple times, you know.
So she did wrestle after WWF for New Japan Pro Wrestling and TNA as well. She apparently left WWF really not because of Triple H and Stephanie per se. She even mentioned that she wanted Austin money. She wanted Rock money. They weren't doing that. And that's kind of why she left. But what do you think is like her legacy on the business? All that included, like the good, the bad, and you know, the good legacy, if you will, with the Attitude Era.
I said it before. I think she'll be known as a pioneer. I think she broke the mold, especially at that time, for the divas and what the divas were supposed to be. She was separated and she was unique. But why wouldn't you want Austin money or Rock money? Why not? And you can only ask for it. They can only say yes or no. And she got her answer.
Ibsen wants to know, do you have students like her, her size?
I do not at this time. We've had students before that came in just about as big as China.
How about Camille?
She's not as big as China, I don't think. But she's a good-sized lady. She's talented.
Jason says, I saw a talk show with China and Sable that got pretty stiff, to say the least.
Probably. You know, I mean, Sable wasn't always the most popular in the back either, but didn't matter. She was what they wanted. And I can see where China might not care for it, and Sable might not care for China. And I could certainly see that whole thing getting out of hand and a few ribbon on the square comments happening.
Ragu Overlord, with China, I think in hindsight we could see the bad times approaching. Started with her plastic surgery, then learning of the troubled childhood that she had.
Well, that's the thing. Nobody really knows, and that's what I was talking earlier about. We crossed the line. I mean, a lot of us, I'll put myself in this category, a lot of us don't know we're past the line until we get so far past there's no coming home. And that's when they have to say, it's time to put you somewhere where you need to stay in the corner for a good, I don't know, 6 months. And everybody else around can see it, and then nobody can see it. all at the same time. You know something's happening, and in a business like wrestling, especially during that time, I think that it was such a whirlwind, and it really was like being at sea, you know, for 20 years, and all of a sudden stepping on dry land saying, oh, no, everything's okay. I've got my sea legs under me. No. You've been at sea for 20 years, and suddenly, you know, from the calm days to the stormy nights, you know, capsized underwater for months at a time and just chaos. And suddenly somebody stops you and says, hey, we've noticed that your ship isn't staying so smooth on those rough seas. We need to take you in, and we need to take care of you, and you need to take care of you. That's a hard thing to approach anybody with, no matter who you are, man. But, you know, just because she wanted plastic surgery, that wouldn't tell me anything. But I think her behavior would tell you, you'd be surprised at the amount of people who have troubled childhoods and troubled lives that follow them everywhere they go, because it's their life. You know, everybody has some defects and things that have happened and had that, had those scars and bruises and bumps. It's called life. So that's what, but that's when you need somebody to sit you down and say, you're going to go away for a little bit for your own good.
The Yard says the match with China against Pat Patterson, Jerry Briscoe was hilarious. I'm surprised they didn't do more with that than just the one match. Yes. Interesting.
Well, yeah, and no telling what was going on there, too. I wasn't privy to
Stooges any were great. Of that.
Yeah, Stooges were great. And but who knows what was happening with that. I really don't.
Speaking of China, we're speaking about her on International Women's Day. Wow.
Well, yes, it makes perfect sense. I remember
recording this. Yeah, right.
Yeah, I called you. I called you earlier in the week. I said, "What a better topic there would be, except China on International Women's Day." And you said, yes. "No, I don't really want to do that." And I said, "No, I really think we ought to." And I had to argue my point about 6 hours straight, Barbara.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
But and the documentary came out. It was perfect. Perfect.
Perfect. Yeah.
Rio said, I thought it was cool when Miss Kitty imitated China's gimmick and became the little mini China. Obviously, that's Stacy Carter, Miss Kitty. That was actually pretty good. Pretty good outfit, if I remember correctly.
Well, okay. Yeah. I'll leave it there.
Barbara's throwing out hard times, baby. She's saying hard times.
Hard times. I mean, it's it was hard times for a lot of people back then, but we all look back on history and try to figure out what we could have done differently while the future keeps or the present just keeps going along. So we could talk all day long about hard times and what could have been done differently. But the fact is, it was done the way it was done. This is the way it was written. This is the way it was supposed to be. And China, unfortunately, she wasn't the only one. She wasn't the only casualty of this. This whole whatever we're going to call it, the chaos and confusion and despair, if there was any, there was despair on her part. It's a terrible thing, man. But there was a lot of people who had to handle it the way they handled it and didn't make it out.
And let's go to some random questions here. Of course, Hall of Fame questions like we always get. Should Crash, Holly, or Tess go to the Hall of Fame?
Ooh. Well, on a personal level, yeah, but I don't know if they had the career to go in. I just don't know.
I know there was another one here about the Hall of Fame. Oh, here we go. What about Dr. Tom in the Hall of Fame? Serious misjustice that needs to happen.
Well, Barbara, I don't think that's going to happen, though, but I appreciate that.
What about Kamala, Bam Bam Bigelow, Rick Martel, Typhoon, Slick, Miss Elizabeth, Viscera, the Nasty Boys, Matt Bourne, and the One Man Gang?
There is a list for you right there that definitely should. There's no way I'd leapfrog over any of those names. And Matt Bourne is a name that gets mentioned too far, too many times, gets mentioned in the error column, or the screw up column. Let me say it like that. But Matt was talented. Matt knew wrestling. Matt was, I thought Matt was a talented guy. He had some demons as well.
Oh, no doubt about that. One final question we'll do here from Jason. Who were your favorite opponents during Smoky Mountain days?
Ah, the Fantastics, the Rock and Roll Express. Hell, I'll even go with the Bruise Brothers. You know, Jacob and Eli Blues, Ron and Don Harris. They were always fun to work with. And the Armstrongs.
Pretty good list. Great list there from Smoky Mountain. All right, let's talk about your book, A Pro Wrestling Curriculum, Advice, Suggestions, and Stories to Help the Aspiring Pro Get to the Next Level. Lockdown, working to find folks, get this great book.
They can get that fine. These fine folks can get that fine book at jpwrestlingacademy.com. Thank you, Barbara. And hit the training link. Thank you so much. The tab at the front, at the top, not link. Thank you. The tab, training tab, it'll come right up on the front page. That's jpwrestlingacademy.com. You can also find out when our next class starts, and I believe it starts April 3rd, the spring class for JPWA.
All right. Good stuff there. Oh, he taught The Rock the People's Elbow. Wow.
I wish that was true, Barbara. I wish that was true, but I have to give that all to The Rock.
You know whoever he got that from, and he admits it in a press conference when he was in Japan. The great Muta.
Oh, yeah, that is Muta's. Yeah, I agree. I see it.
Pretty awesome he did, because Muta came out in this big press conference. He was promoting a movie, and he told everybody in the press, he's like, I stole The Rock Bottom from Muta. Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
Oh, the People's Elbow, you mean?
People's Elbow, I mean, I'm sorry.
Yes, he goes, I stole it
from Muta. Yep.
Yeah, cool.
Thank you, Jason. And thank you, everybody out there, for listening. We'll see you right back here next week for a little Take It to School with Dr. Tom Pritchard. We'll see you next week, folks. This has been a John Paz Power Trip production in conjunction with the Two Man Power Trip of Wrestling. You could follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Two Man Power Trip. You could check us out on Facebook. You could subscribe on YouTube. You can go to patreon.com/TMPTEmpire to become a patron, and also check out the website TMPTEmpire.com and buy a shirt at ProWrestlingTees.com. Two Man Power Trip, where the power lies, brother. We get it. You want to raise your testosterone, but do any test boosters actually work? And you should know, Test X9 does. And we show you how at LegacySups.com with the links to clinical studies on each of the 9 key ingredients. No bull, no bro science, just facts. Test X9 is NSF certified, third-party lab tested, and made in the good old US of A. Level up your strength, energy, libido, and drive now with Test X9 from Legacy Sports Nutrition. If you want to really level up, go for the ultimate test act, adding a T-Assist, a pro-grade estrogen inhibitor and test enhancer, and the best-selling sleep aid, the Recovery PM, and see why improving your sleep is the key to unlocking your mental and physical potential. Guys, did you know the majority of testosterone release occurs while you sleep? Well, that's why we put this stack together and why it really works. Stop settling for average. Go to LegacySubs.com and use the promo code DrTom, D-R-T-O-M, for 10% off your entire order if you subscribe and have it shipped every 30 days. You could still get the discount each and every single time. Brought to you by 3-time world heavyweight champion Nick Aldis and 10-time world champion Nicky James. And you guys, Nick developed and uses this product himself, so you know that they really work. LegacySubs.com. That's LegacySubs.com. Use the promo code Dr. Tom and level up with Legacy.